Welcome back to Soul Back. This is the R&B Podcast. Kyle here, back with Ed and Tom. Happy Valentine's, guys.
Well, it's a little late for Valentine's Day, but this is around the time that the real ones know about Valentine's Day, because this is when all the candy is marked half off. So, yes. This is my Valentine's Day player.
Me and Ed are going to the store to rack up on Conversation Hearts, my favorite.
Player, I had some sweet tart Conversation Hearts the other day. I did not know such a thing exists, but they are, player, they fire. They fire.
Oh, fair enough. You know what annoys me about Valentine's Day, though? I guess it's a love holiday or whatever, but it's like everyone waits till this day to release their music for R&B, and it's just, it's good and bad. It's good because you get a lot of music, bad because stuff just slips through the cracks because there's too much coming out.
Yeah, and that stuff comes like an avalanche, so I feel you on that. I've been scrambling.
Well, guys, I don't know what's better. The fact that JoJo Haley finally dropped his new single after 6 months, or the fact that I took my girlfriend out for Dairy Queen on Valentine's Day.
If you've got a girl that appreciates Dairy Queen, you better go ahead and put a ring on that real quick, because you got a winner.
That's the only qualification you need? What is wrong with you, Ed?
Listen, if that is all you need and you don't have to put down $300 for a dinner, if she's good with like a soft serve cup, I mean, I don't even know what they sell at Dairy Queen. What's those Blizzard things, those milkshakes? Blizzards. If you're good with that, then that is a woman that you can keep forever. But if you got to spend $350 at some steakhouse to lock it down, player, no.
I feel bad for Ed's wife. She gets Denny's, IHOP, only the finest in fast food and quick serve restaurants. IHOP.
Let me tell you something. If I brought Denny's and IHOP here, I would be sleeping on your couch pretty quickly.
First off, can we give a shout out to IHOP? Man, we need a sponsor. And IHOP, if you want to sponsor us, be our guest. We need you. But Tom, on a serious matter, let's talk about JoJo's new single, Special. JoJo from Jodeci, from Casey and JoJo. I would call him a living legend at this point. But the single Special, we've been waiting 6 months for it. It's finally here. What are your thoughts?
Well, let me first tell you the last time I saw JoJo Haley, it was a Casey and JoJo concert, and unfortunately, JoJo had been relegated to background singing duties, so it was kind of like Casey featuring JoJo. It was unfortunate. His voice just wasn't there. He just was waving a towel around. It was on top of his head at one point. This was not the same show Casey was riding around the security guard's shoulders eating chicken wings. This was a different show.
Oh, I wish it was, though.
But anyway, so we were really skeptical about what we were going to hear when JoJo came out with his solo single. He made us wait a good while. He's been announcing this song since last summer, I think, which is a little wild, but it's finally here. Ed, are you liking what you're hearing?
It's not bad. I think sometimes with, and we've talked about this a lot in the past, that a lot of fans, when they hear their favorites come back, they think that it's going to instantly sound like 1993. And unfortunately, people age, things change, and the brother not going to sound like 1993. And as you mentioned, he has gone through some difficulties vocally, I'll leave it at that, over the past few years. But for what it is, it's not bad. He does what he can do with his voice. It doesn't sound terrible. I like the production. Decently written. It's a pretty solid return to form. I don't think it's an instant classic, but wasn't offensive at all. Pretty solid song.
Yeah, and Kyle, I really liked your interview that you did with JoJo, especially you got him to admit that the last Jodeci album was kind of a mess, which we all had known at this point, and it was kind of interesting to hear him speak candidly on that. You know, he kind of kept it professional, but still his thoughts were felt. I mean, how did you feel interviewing JoJo and everything he shared?
Yeah, I thought that was the most interesting part about it. I mean, in his press release, which I didn't really touch on too much, he was also going through like alcoholism for a couple of years, which might explain why his voice was shot for a while, but he's doing much better now. But in regards to that last Jodeci album, like we spoke to Dalvin, what was that, like a year ago, and now JoJo, and they both admit that they didn't like that album. There was a lot of politics behind that. And what JoJo said was interesting was that a lot of the material was left out. So that makes me believe that maybe they released two different, or they recorded two different projects, one that they wanted and one that the label wanted. But let me ask you guys this. If they didn't even like this album, why did they put it out?
I mean, they may have had no choice. A lot of times, we talked to Vivian Green a few months back, and she talked about how this is kind of a different side of that coin, but her debut is pretty beloved, but a lot of stuff on it she really wasn't comfortable with or didn't like the sound and didn't feel like it was true to her. There are so many times where label politics are just kind of demand and direct what you're going to do, so they can't just say, oh, I'm not going to do it. Because then you have no album. So sometimes they're like, try to make the best of a bad situation. And I assume that's what we got here.
Yep, agreed.
So, Tom, knowing all of this, and I think we have to give a shout out to Jodeci one time for even going forward with that album, even though they didn't like it. I know, Tom, you really want a Jodeci tour, maybe even a Jodeci album, but man, I don't know if we're going to get that at that point. So I think it's pretty admirable, at least. And I'd love to hear your thoughts that they even went through with all of that the last time around.
Well, see, yes, it's admirable, but it's almost like they didn't put the effort into it. Like, you know, you hear all these comments about how it wasn't a great album. Even the members are admitting it. Well, couldn't they have done a better job? I mean, couldn't they have worked harder on it to make it a better project? It just felt like they went through the motions to put that out, and that's kind of what upsets me the most. The same with the tour they did after the album, because it could have been something so special. We just hold them to such a higher standard. These are legends. So, and hey, even after that, I would still like another album. I would still like another tour, but just give us your all, man, for the fans. Don't just come out and have two of the four members show up. You know, we need the whole thing, the real deal.
No lies told there, but I think it'll be pretty hard to get Devontae out of his house again. So he was gone for like 15 years. So I think we're going to just have to leave it at that, Tom.
Didn't he get arrested in the subway once?
He did.
That sounds like something Devontae would do.
Really? I thought he just stays in the house and doesn't leave the house.
Well, he's got to go eat, no. Tom.
I feel like his bodyguard just goes in, the same guy that Casey was riding on his shoulders. Like, that's the guy who gets Devontae's food for him and brings it to Devontae in his basement or something. I don't know.
Good Lord. Like, I would hope they have more than one giant bodyguard. Not only does he have to be their transportation and carry them around like a camel, he's got to go to pick up his chicken at Popeyes, too. This is the most overworked man in music. Popeyes.
Wow.
Where do these guys even live these days? Any you guys know, just out of curiosity?
I think I have JoJo not heard. And I think JoJo and Devontae live in California. Casey, assume, lives in North Carolina because that's where Fantasia lives, and they hang out. Dalvin is, I think he's in like Vegas or something.
I know he's from VA, but I did not know where he's living now.
Yeah, Ed, I don't think they're going back to VA, unfortunately.
Well, that's their loss.
Not why would right. they want to go? never mind. I'm not.
Calm down. We're moving on. Can we talk about Aaron Bieber for a second, Ed?
If we must, I'm already annoyed at Tom, so now I'm gonna get more annoyed.
So Justin Bieber, who we don't really talk about on this podcast, dropped his quote-unquote Aaron Bieber album, which I think is supposed to mean R&B, but with his name attached to the end of it. And I know other outlets initially posted his single Yummy. It's kind of interesting that these same outlets aren't posting his album. I think they felt the wrath of the R&B fans. But Ed, is this an R&B album?
Well, I don't know if it's, as we've talked before, I think that sometimes the whole is it R&B, is it not conversation is subjective and dangerous, because a lot of times the people making those decisions are using their frame of reference for R&B. If you came in at R&B in 2003, if it don't sound like Alicia Keys, it ain't R&B. If you came in 89, if it don't sound like After 7, it's not R&B. So a lot of those conversations are weird to me. However, I can tell you if it's good or bad, and I can tell you this piece of garbage ain't good. Aaron Bieber, so to speak, is essentially what everything else modern mainstream R&B is disguised to be. Throw a bunch of trap beats, have them sing half-heartedly, and mumble over some beats, and then you got an R&B record. And don't get me wrong, as much as I have beef with this dude for this lazy album, Bieber is not a bad vocalist. I will take that. If you're mad, go to E.T. Bowles on Twitter and yell at me. I can tell you you're wrong. I give credit when it's due. He's not a bad vocalist. And he wants to sing in a couple spots. You can say, okay, yeah, he's got a little something. But this record is just so lazy. It is the most stereotypical, generic R&B, quote-unquote, album that we would do for mainstream. Not a lick of soul. There's no soul here. You can call it R&B if you want it, or trapping B. But you ain't calling it soul. There's zero soul here. But it's just him moaning and groaning over some trap beats. I do not get the big deal. I know it was marketed and they did the mess with Yummy, and then they had Megan Thee Stallion cooking breakfast in the kitchen with her, you know, friends with the booties out, and everybody's throwing salt. It is weird. But, you know, booties, so we got it to go viral. So it was profitable and successful for that. But is anybody going to go revisit this album? Absolutely not. Not. And it is telling that all these sites that were gassing up Yummy, I did not see one soul gassing up this thing. Interesting.
Tom, let me ask you, how do you feel about these outlets that posted a single, but they've sort of backed away from posting his album? Let me ask you that.
Yeah, I haven't seen them post the album, Kyle. Kyle, those outlets are a piece of garbage. I'll tell you that right now. They don't love R&B. But anyway, I digress. I really just need to say that it's like, it's like a phenomenon of like brainwashing. If you just keep saying the same thing over and over with enough conviction, everyone's going to believe you. So if people keep saying this is R&B, people are going to believe that Justin Bieber is an R&B artist. That's just the way it works. People get brainwashed. But, I mean, I didn't listen to it. I never will listen to it. Honestly, he's a culture vulture to me. He'll take and pull from the urban culture where it benefits him, giving nothing back the whole time. And then when it's time for him to give back, he'll pull away and go back pop. So, I mean, it's just a mess, and it's not something I would ever support.
You have missed absolutely nothing. Anybody listening to this podcast who has not listened to this album, don't bother, because you are missing nothing. If you heard Yummy, you heard the album. There you go.
And I'm sorry, I saw this article. I think it was Billboard, and I'm sorry, Billboard, but it must have been a paid placement by his label, because it said, oh, this is how Bieber set the tone for him to become an R&B artist. Like, it was like the progression of how he emerged into an R&B artist. It said like journals made, you know, set him up to become an R&B artist. And let's not get back into that argument again, guys, please. But
no, see, this is where this is when you send me the article so I can read it and then dissect it and destroy it live on the podcast. Because this is what I live to do. Because what you just said, it sounded like some trash to me. I understand that people have love for journals. I haven't listened to it in years. I know it's kind of revered. I can't say whether it's bad. I thought it was forgettable because I can remember nothing about it. But I guarantee you it was better than this. And you can say, it paved the way for... This doesn't sound anything like journals. It sounds like, let me try to sound like Bryson Tiller and everybody else. How did that have anything to do with journals? I need to see this article so I can yell about it.
Well, Ed, you made an interesting point earlier. You said if you've heard Yummy, you've heard the album. Well, I'm going to give you one better, Ed. If you've heard Indigo and Heartbreak on a Full Moon, you've heard the album. Because this sounds like a Chris Brown clone, this album right here, but with even crappier lyrics.
Well, Play, I will say this, and mark this down, because I will never say this again. I think Heartbreak on a Full Moon was better than this.
Wow.
Because Indigo? At least that, even Indigo? Though it was...
Hold up. Indigo? What about Indigo?
No, don't press your luck, Player. I say Heartbreak on a Full Moon. I say Indigo.
Oh.
Because Heartbreak on a Full Moon had good songs, and I said in my review that shaved about 7 years off my life, that if you plucked like maybe 14 of the best songs off of that 74-song album, you would have a decent album. This Bieber thing had like maybe 1.5 songs that maybe I would like to hear again, maybe if I was sitting in the dentist's office in the waiting room and they just happened to play it on the speaker. But no, absolutely nothing there that I would want to revisit. And again, it's telling that absolutely nobody is talking about this thing.
This is true. So, on to more real R&B here. PJ Morton dropped his new album, the Piano Album. That sounds like something you'd listen to. Piano music.
Piano music.
Come on, pal. Is there a bass line in it? No. But I'm just kidding. We love PJ Morton and everything he does. This is actually a special project because it's like his Gumbo Unplugged album where he just went in the recording studio, invited a whole bunch of musicians and people he's cool with, and recorded an album in one night. It's actually a bunch of songs from his previous albums and stuff, and then I think a couple new ones mixed in, or maybe, but it's cool, man. It's actually what we've been looking for in R&B. It has emotions. It'll make you feel something. People just singing their hearts out. Ed, you heard it, right?
I did, and the thing that I love about it, first of all, as many people who follow my reviews may know, I'm pretty much a sucker for acoustics. If I can hear just somebody singing against a guitar, or if I can get some good vocals and just a piano, to me, that's the purity of R&B, and that's what this album really is. It's the opposite of R&B Bieber, because this is an artist who's just letting his vocals do his thing. He's letting the piano drive it, and all it's about is not about bangers and beats. It's about artistry, well-written songs, and just using his voice as instrument to kind of carry that tone. That's why I thought this was a really solid project. Again, it's not a new LP by any means. If anything, it's kind of like a one of those old school MTV Unplugged type albums. So I thought it was really cool, fun project, and if you're a fan, you definitely should check it out.
How do you guys kind of look at PJ Morton's career right now? Is he one of the faces of R&B?
I think he's quietly becoming that. He is one of those interesting faces in that he didn't have some blockbuster single like LMA that had everybody going nuts, or he's not a God, thank God, a Summer Walker that's out here that's getting notoriety just because of social media antics. He's just quietly doing his craft very, very well. And slowly but surely, he's gaining more notoriety and respect. And I think his Grammy win just kind of helps solidify that. So due to the place of R&B in the mainstream right now, it's kind of hard for him to be like the face publicly and like breaking through mainstream. But if you know, you know. And you know that he is one of the strongest voices we got right now.
Yeah, I mean, even as much success as he's having, I almost have to say I feel like he's flying under the radar a bit. I mean, in terms of the mainstream. So he's, you know, he's won Grammys the past couple of years. He's made amazing albums, but he's not even close to a household name, even though he's part of Maroon 5 and that whole thing. But, I mean, it's like you said, I think he's quietly doing his thing, Ed. It's not like he's super vocal. He's not going to be, like, doing theatrics, just, you know, speaking up just to say something. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to diss anyone, but as a Tyrese, you know, he loves to speak.
Mm-hmm.
PJ Morton just quietly goes about his business and makes good music. So I feel like that almost hurts him a bit, unfortunately. So that's the way I view it. And definitely keeps making good music, though, and working hard.
It reminds me kind of Rahsaan Patterson of the kind of like late 90s, early 2000s, one of those artists that consistently does great music and gets recognition for it within the culture, but never really like has that big blockbuster single. And maybe even PJ, I might even put him a little bit ahead of him, but your point is well taken. And I think that combined with kind of his low-key nature and R&B just not being super thrusted in the mainstream right now, he's not getting the love he definitely deserves. But again, if you know the culture and you know the genre, you know your boy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention he got a Grammy recently for Say So with JoJo, which, you know, was one of our favorites of the year as well. So shouts to PJ. Mm-hmm. Go check out that new album. A couple more records I want to talk about here. I'm curious about you guys on this one. A lot of fans have actually hit us up, and I didn't even know these guys listened to the podcast, but a lot of just random people on Twitter said, I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this song by Lil Duval, Tank, and Jacquees.
Oh, guys. My God.
It sounds like a really good song until you hear the lyrics of the song. I'll say that much.
There you go. That's my argument right there. If it's well produced. See, and this is the thing. And I know somebody's going to hit me up and yell about, oh, they had sex. You love the 90s. Always talking about the 90s. They had sex songs in the 90s. Yes, I know. But the lyrics to this song are just so juvenile that even though it's well produced and Tank, you know, sounds pretty decent. Jacquees is Jacquees. Lil Duval is whatever. It's just so childish sounding that even though the elements are in place for a good song, I can't take it seriously. And it's not just because Lil Duval's on it. I just can't take it. It feels like a sketch from In Living Color with a good beat. That's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, I would say the same. Like, when I saw Duval on the record, I'm like, this has to be a joke. And then I heard the beat come on. Shout out to Troy Taylor, who did the joint. But when I heard that track, I was like, man, this sounds like 90s R&B. And then Jacquees comes in, and he sounds fine as well. It's not like he was hollering all over the track. Tank sounds fine, and Duval, to his credit, he doesn't sound terrible. You can tell he's trying to make an R&B song, but man, those lyrics, like, that's what turns it into like a joke for me. But sonically speaking, that song is actually pretty good.
Well, sonically speaking, it's strong. You know, I think that it fits the tone that it was trying to go for, but I can't remember whose verse it was. It might have been Tank's. Somebody's verse. I was like, come on. I'm listening to it at work. I'm like, I hope my earbuds don't fall out and people don't hear this stupidness. It's just got to the point where it was just too ridiculous. I enjoy a little bit of salaciousness. One of my favorite albums is Adina Hour, so I'm not gonna lie, like a prude up here. But it's still like, come on, y'all. You're doing too much. That's what hurts it.
Tom, I got a question for you.
Hmm.
So, do you remember probably about a year ago, Tank, Jacquees were doing an interview with Tigga, as well as Keith Sweat? Where's he on this song? Wasn't he supposed to complete the trifecta?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what, though. I heard the song. And you listen to it, and I'm thinking, like, Jacquees' voice is just not that good. That was my first thought when I heard the song until I heard the lyrics. But it's just not good, guys. He might have fooled you, but it's not fooling me.
Play it, please. I don't think he fooled anybody. But again, as we've discussed on the podcast, you can have suspect vocals, so to speak, and still get away with it by having strong writing or good production. But when you only got one out of the three, or none out of the three, you gotta hit that delete button. You go into the recycle bin real quick.
Well, for the non-biased Rich Gang members out there, such as myself, this might end up in our top 100 of the year. Stay tuned; it's only February. But
I can't wait to.
We got a couple more records here. Do you guys remember Mashonda? Swiss Beats, ex-wife. Do you guys remember her?
Yes, how can we forget Mashonda, player?
Well, she's back with her new single, King. And after I heard that song, I was like, I'm so glad Mashonda's back. I went back. And do you guys remember her album? I think it was called, like, January Joy. She had a record with Kanye, Hold Me. Remember that joint?
Yep. Great song.
Which I love that song. And this Mashonda song, you just never know what to expect from these veterans that come back. And luckily, this is not a trap song, Tom.
It's not a trap song, which is very surprising. I mean, when these artists make comebacks, you know, from the early 2000s, you expect to hear something like that. Olivia, for example. So this was actually kind of refreshing to hear. It was kind of the sound we were familiar with from Mashonda. And I wasn't mad at the song.
Me neither. I kind of dug it. There is a big contingent of, here's where I really want things to kind of move up for her. Because as many people know listening to this podcast, there has been a strong contingent that has been very much against Miss Alicia Keys since her decision to marry Mashonda's ex-husband. I will leave it at that. But there has also been this strong contingent who loves to throw shade at Alicia for anything that she does. It's like, oh, we're in Mashonda's corner. So guess what? This is your opportunity to not tweet, who actually shows support for your so-called girl Mashonda by showing some love for this song. If you want to help her out for real, and not just looking for retweets, support your girl, because she's got a pretty decent song here.
And not just that, you though. You know, she's made amends with Alicia Keys, and, like, that whole thing is done with. They wrote a book.
Yep.
I mean, she wrote a book. Alicia Keys was involved with it. It's about co-parenting. I mean, if anyone's still talking about that or still has problems with that, I mean, you're focusing on the wrong things. I'm sorry.
Well, Twitter focusing on the wrong thing, Tom. I know that's an unheard concept, but it still happens out here.
Do you guys remember Mashonda's debut, January of Joy? I'm just looking at it on Wikipedia right now. You got Swiss Beatz, Kanye, Sean Garrett, yeah. Mike City, Raphael
you know
Sadiq.
What, you know what's interesting, Kyle? You know, that was, and I hate to say this, but that was when kind of downloading of music was rampant. And, you know, I may have come across a copy of the album. And I even realized it was just only released in Japan. Like, it was never released in the U.S. So I always thought she had officially released her debut here, but it was shelved in the U.S. I didn't know that. Did you know that, Ed?
I don't remember knowing it, because that's one of those albums, as you said, this was around, I don't know, 06, 07. It was like my last few years in Louisville, where I was kind of like discovering, because this is when YouTube, you go to YouTube and they have like the whole album. And I would just pull up YouTube, and that's how I would kind of catch up on a lot of albums that I missed. And I remember not really liking her single, that club song, Back of the Club, whatever it was called. But
oh, that was bad.
When I heard the full album, I was like, oh, this joint's pretty decent. So yeah, you might be right. It may have never been released and I missed it, but I thought that she had a lot of potential, and it was kind of disappointing that we kind of missed out on that, and then she kind of got wrapped up in unfortunate drama that, as Tom has said, is she's, I mean, they're right. Everybody's cool, so Twitter, you can calm down. Everybody's cool.
But Kyle, actually, this is funny, because you were just talking about this on Twitter, about how Japan used to get exclusives of, you know, great bonus tracks, but, you know, isn't it funny to think about, Kyle, like, we're just going to release this album in Japan, because these days that would never happen. You just put it on streaming. It's available to everyone in every country, basically.
Yep.
So, like, what were they thinking just releasing this to Japan and nowhere else? Like, what did they even mean?
Well, I mean, it takes a lot of money to distribute albums to different retail outlets. I'm curious if she had a big fan base in Japan. We'll probably have to get Mashonda on this podcast or interview her separate just to find out what happened with that project. But yeah, it's interesting, and I want to touch on that Japan thing later on, but I just remembered another great song, the one that she has with Cassidy, Get No Better. That was a big song.
I remember that one, yes.
She was on some big songs. I mean, people never she was on a Jay-Z record. I mean, she was on the Eve record that were singles. I mean, I was just reading her profile today when I did the write-up for our site. I mean, she was, people may not recognize it, but that was her.
Yeah.
Well, it's just weird because it was around that era where artists kind of got introduced through their features, and she had those really high-profile features, and then once she started to do her solo stuff, that's when things just kind of fell through for her. So I think people just forget because she was a rising star that just sort of vanished, and then people just remember the drama. It's unfair because she was very talented.
Yeah, sad. But we're going to have to get into another topic here, and this one will excite you guys a lot. We're talking about upcoming projects here, and nothing is more exciting than when Tyrese tweets, everyone listens.
Oh, boy.
And most recently, he posted on his Instagram and his Twitter, coming soon, Tyrese and Joe duet EP, or duo EP. Guys, this right here could be a very big moment for R&B. What does it mean for R&B here, Ed?
Now, see, here's
Ed,
what I have to be.
That's the wrong reaction, Ed. Come on.
Here's where I have to put things into perspective, player. That's why you have me on, because I am the one who puts things in perspective. On the surface, this could be great. One of two of the best voices in the past 20 years together on one project. If you get some decent production behind that sucker, we got some serious business. and could easily be one of the standouts of the year. However, this is Tyrese, who does a lot of talking on social media. I will believe it when I see a single.
Tom, let me ask you this. Why is Tyrese going to Joe for a project? Shouldn't he be making amends with his TGT partners?
No, please, we go with this again.
That's an unfair question, Kyle. Come on.
All right. Well, so, what are your thoughts on this?
It's always exciting when Joe is coming with somebody. Let's just first put that out there. I mean, so many people on our site. I think Joe is the most popular artist among readers of our site. You know, so first of all, and he announced he was potentially retiring. So to hear he's coming back with something is exciting, obviously. Number two, anytime you hear two great artists from the 90s coming together, like we had Donnell and John B. last year, that was exciting, and now this is exciting to me. So, yes, it's exciting. What to expect? Is this even going to happen? I don't know. Tyrese made it pretty clear they're seeking out producers and writers at this point, so it's not like they recorded. You know, he made a bit premature announcement, EP coming, but they haven't even recorded, it doesn't seem like. So, but it's definitely an exciting announcement. You know, it got a lot of attention. It kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, you would not have expected Joe to just pop up in Tyrese's whatever van he drives around taking selfies with Tyrese. You know, it was kind of interesting. You saw that, right?
Yeah. Oh, so, I saw that.
Joe was a low-key dude, so I wouldn't have expected him to just, you know, pop up out of nowhere like that. So we'll just have to see what comes of this.
And I hope it works out, but just remember, this is Ty. Remember when Tyrese did the video with Dr. Dre and was screaming how Dr. Dre was hip-hop's first billionaire? And Apple was like, nope, and he didn't get his money? Nah, okay, Joe, you better watch who you rolling with in the little car for the IG. Because Tyrese has a bad track record, player.
Kyle, let me ask you this. Could they not have just got Monica's photographer and got a legitimate shot of them two instead of just having some selfie in the backseat of a minivan?
I think a selfie is more authentic. It actually captures the moment. Come on.
Oh, really?
Well, Tom, you made an interesting point here. We're always excited to hear artists come together and collaborate, and hopefully it does well. I just want to ask you this, though, about this Tyrese and Joe collaboration. Who does this benefit more, Tyrese or Joe? Or does it benefit both of them? Or does it benefit neither of them? And more importantly, will Joe regret coming out of retirement for this?
Let me go first, then. Here's my thing.
Go ahead.
Joe's reason for retiring was that, you know, he wasn't getting the support he deserved, which was very fair to say. Now, I think that these type of collaborations bring a whole new level of excitement, get you more media attention, and you know, you'll get more press around the project. So I really feel like, you know, this could be a project that's heavily supported and gets people talking. So I think it could actually, believe it or not, benefit Joe and Tyrese at the same time. I mean, just look at TGT. That got people talking. That was an exciting thing to come out. So I think it could be the same type of situation.
Kind of got to agree with that. I mean, I think both could come out of this with a win. And more importantly, I think that the genre itself could come out with a big win. So if it happens, it would be a big deal. If it happens.
And I would just like to say, Kyle, we really need more of this in the genre, especially among 90s R&B artists. I don't know if it's egos, if it's they don't have, you know, the relationships with each other or what, but man, this is what's exciting to R&B fans, because these are some of the most popular topics and posts on our page and our social media when these type of announcements are made. So people want to see this type of stuff. I wish artists would get the hint and do more of it. Even a tour, even, you know, joint EPs, joint singles. We just need more of it, guys. Come together and help uplift the genre together.
Absolutely. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news here, but you guys are both wrong. This 100% benefits Joe. Doesn't really benefit Tyrese all that much, because Tyrese will continue to be successful. he's just helping out the genre. When you guys called him out for saying that he was saving R&B, a lot of people said, well, you're not helping anyone else elevate their careers. You're just doing it for yourself. Well, look what Tyrese is doing. He's giving back.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Oh. Yes.
Wait a minute.
Are we acting like Joe is some bum that lives out of a trash can? What are you talking about?
What help does Joe even need? Like, where would this elevate Joe to?
Listen. As you guys have both said, Joe retired because he felt like no one cared anymore. He felt no one was buying projects. And let me tell you, there's one guy for the genre that constantly pushes his albums, goes out of his way to make sure that people know his album is out. The album landed at number one on Billboard 200, Black Rose. Tyrese has the recipe and the ingredients to make a hit album. And he's just doing everyone a favor. He's brought Joe along for the ride. And think about it, over the last couple of projects that Tyrese has released, including that Shame documentary with Jennifer Hudson, that long video, Tyrese, he knows what he's doing, and he's just, his track record is unbeatable, guys. I'm thanking Tyrese for this.
Tom, are you trolling us right now?
Tom, when did this guy get on Tyrese's payroll? Now, we already talked about Tom being on the Van Jess payroll, but I think we definitely have proof that Kyle is on the Tyrese payroll.
I may have to share the Twitter DMs between Kyle and Tyrese to out this guy
right
now.
I've seen him.
In all seriousness, this is Joe. This is not Kenny Lattimore or someone like that. I mean, he doesn't need the help. He's selling out shows around the world. You know, he doesn't need the help. I mean, a charity project for Tyrese would be like if he linked up with Ruben Studdard or someone like that, not Joe. And no offense to Kenny Lattimore and Ruben Sutter, I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just saying this, guys. That Voltron, Transformers, Fast and Furious money, it's a little different out here.
Oh, God.
Is Joe going to be in the next Fast and Furious movie? I mean, come on.
No. Probably not. I got a couple more albums that I want to quickly discuss here. Give me your thoughts here. About what we can expect. First off, Sammy has been on Instagram, and he's announced his new album. He's also on the new Millennium Tour that's set to start, at the end of the month, maybe at the start of next month. But he keeps calling this album 90s R&B and the return of 90s R&B. Do you guys buy it?
I never buy anything until I actually have it in front of me, player, because there's a whole lot of talking that goes on. Because I heard R&B Bieber was going to save R&B. I heard that Confessions 2 was dropping any moment. I heard that Drew Hill's album was coming out by the beginning of the year at the latest. I've heard many things. I have seen little results. So until I hear Sammy's so-called 90s joint, I will use caution.
Kyle, on that note, I'm going to hijack this podcast. It's a half an hour in, and you haven't even brought up the most important topic of this podcast. Maya got married. We need to discuss that immediately, guys.
She did not get
married.
Oh,
I thought
he
was saving that for the Player Please Awards, because I know that
discussion. Maya got married. She's off the market. Everyone had a crush on Maya back in the 90s, so what is going on, Ed?
Listen, that lady deserves to have some happiness in her life. She has been out here. She is putting out albums y'all ain't never heard of and getting Grammy nominations for them. So she is out here grinding. She knows how to get... She turns in her Grammy nomination form early. That's why she keeps getting these nominations. And she was like, I am going to put a ring on this, and good for my girl. She has deserved it. I hope she gets all the flowers and all the happiness in the world. So good for Maya. Too bad for Kyle.
Hold up. Tom, isn't it reported that like she married herself?
It is being reported that to promote her single, yes, actually. It was all publicity stuff, I heard. Yeah, you didn't hear
she
that?
She married herself. No, I didn't hear this part. She did it to marry herself?
You gotta watch the video to understand. I feel like we should take a 5-minute break and I'll watch the video right now and then report back our findings. But no, she married herself. It's a publicity stunt.
Oh, my God. See, now you can have her.
No, it's smart.
I take back.
That was a smart move.
I take back everything. That was a stupid move.
What?
Oh, man.
Dude, Maya made a smart move. She got people talking.
She got people talking about a lie. I did not see anyone saying that she married herself. I heard that she got married and everybody was offering congratulations.
Listen.
No.
She got on TMZ by making this announcement, so was she going to get on TMZ otherwise? Absolutely not.
Yeah, so she got on TMZ lying. Only thing she has to do now is make an EP with Tyrese, and Kyle will be over the moon. He'd be super happy.
And in the meantime, people were checking out her music, streaming her music. She got like $100,000 in her pocket right now, just from this fake news.
Well, I guess that's the lesson of the day, kids. You want to be successful, lie to the media. Well, I mean, works for the president, so go ahead.
Listen, guys. Kyle, I'm going to give you a trivia contest right now. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Based on this fake news and her publicity stunt, how many millions of views do you think her video that she just put out got?
Millions?
Yeah.
I was going to say like 300,000.
61 million.
Wow.
Just kidding, 61,000.
Okay, then. 61 million? My God. Now this guy's working for Maya.
Wow. I mean, got to admire. Wow. Listen, would you rather her do something like Brian McKnight did all those years ago when he made that freaking raunchy song to get publicity? I mean, come on.
I did not play it. We can have middle ground here. You don't have to have a fake wedding or a song about I can't even have to edit myself because this is a family-friendly podcast. Except when Case comes on, then we just wild out. But the point is, we can have middle ground. We don't have to be making up lies and talking about lady parts to make record sell in 2020. Oh my gosh. What is happening? True. Maya out here lying about her nuptials on Valentine's Day. Oh no.
Guys. I'll tell you who we need to be more like. Janet Jackson. She just minds her business, puts out a tour, announces an album, and just goes about her way. Why can't we be more like Janet?
Why can't we just do that? I got an album coming out, y'all. I got a tour. Everybody says yay. Like, why must we complicate these things?
Because, Ed, you just told us no one even knew what the name of Maya's album was. She's trying to get people looking at her pages here by making up fake news. You got to do it in this day and age.
I get what the end goal is. I am not justifying the strategy because it's whack.
Listen,
I hope this album is good because I'm a fake
wedding than. I'm sorry, Kyle. I'd rather her do a fake wedding than be like Ashanti who just posts not safe for work pictures on Instagram every single day. I mean, that's come on.
Tom,
I'll give. Take that back. I agree with that.
The moment Ashanti gets married and those not safe for work pictures are gone, I might just have to delete Instagram for good.
I hope your girlfriend doesn't listen to this podcast.
Calm down.
Shame on you, Kyle.
Calm down. It's Valentine's Day, guys. Let me be.
Well, I'm sure she doesn't. If not, this dude would be sleeping on your couch too. Look, you don't have a crowded couch between me and IHOP and Kyle and Ashanti.
Wow. That sounds like a good time, guys. We'll all crash on the couch and eat IHOP. What's better than that?
Listening to Ashanti's Love Chapter 2?
Woo! Okay, I would rather eat the IHOP than that.
Alright. Oh. Well, guys, let's talk about this Janet Jackson album that's set to come out, as well as the tour. First of all, are we ready for a new Janet album, guys?
I'm not mad at a new Janet album. I remember a couple years ago now, when I went through and ranked her entire discography, which you can see over at soulandstereo.com. Check out that. But I was kind of taken aback that pretty much there is very few, like, weak Janet albums. I can't think of a bad album she has. So she always delivers at least a solid project. So if she got some new heat coming, and it's coming with the tour, I'm all for it. I saw her on her the State of the World tour, whatever it was, a couple years ago. It was pretty good, so I'm all for it.
Well, Kyle, I'm going to answer your question with a quiz. actually, for both of you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready for a new Janet Jackson album, is the question. And I'm going to ask you guys in return, name the year that the past two Janet Jackson albums came out, and the title.
I can do title. I have a struggle with the year, though.
Can both of you work together? I mean, it's a team effort.
Well, Unbreakable was the last one, right, Ed?
Say what?
Unbreakable?
Yes, Unbreakable was the last joint, the one with, like, the big hair on the album cover. That
and
had to be...
What year?
Hold on, I have to break it down, because I have to break it down from the...
Oh, he's Googling it right now.
Oh, my God, Googling it. My brain is Google. I don't cheat like Maya. I don't make up stuff for views. I have to remember where I was working because I wasn't where I was now. So 2016.
Well, you definitely weren't in Virginia Beach, so you can't use that line.
Well, no, I wasn't in Virginia Beach. 2016.
I don't know the answer. Do you know the answer?
Oh, you were saying it like you were looking at it.
Wow.
No, but that's the point. You said, are we ready for a new Janet Jackson album? We don't even remember her last couple albums, point.
You can remember the album. The last two albums were Unbreakable and Discipline. I don't remember the day of the week they came out. Come on now. But you can remember the projects.
So, there you go.
Okay, well, 2015 and 2008 is the answer.
Sounds
about that
right.
Time, Tom. About that time.
But my point is, Unbreakable, her last one, how much of an impact did it even have? And that was 5 years ago.
Yeah, I thought it was solid. And I think that it got some decent, if I remember right, Kyle was better at the numbers than I am. But I remember it doing pretty well. It spawned a pretty successful tour. I don't think it was a flop by any means.
Well,
Discipline
I'm curious
was
to hear
more
Kyle's response
bomb.
On this one.
Kyle? Yeah, I did fine.
I'm just curious. Do you think that... No, I mean, I'm curious to hear your take, because we talk about these type of legacy, quote-unquote, artists all the time. Is there still demand for their music?
I think if you're a diehard Janet Jackson fan, there probably is. It's similar to Mariah, right? Like, a 20-year-old is not listening to Janet Jackson unless your name is Montrez Jones. But for other 20-year-olds out there, probably not. The only thing I would say is there's probably a bunch of 20-year-olds that are going to that concert, but it's probably because they're going with their mom. So, the fact that she can still sell on a tour is cool.
Yeah, I don't think we should underestimate freaking Janet Jackson. She's a pretty big deal. We aren't talking about, you know, I almost said...
No.
I almost said Maya. I'm not getting on her again. But my point is, like, she... She is a still viable artist. Like, she's still doing the thing.
No, I wasn't trying to misinterpret what I meant, but I was just saying that, you know, when it comes to these type of artists, sometimes people just want to hear the hits. You know, they're not always checking for the newer music and don't always support it. You know, especially on the tours, they just want to hear the nostalgic hits and stuff like that. So I was just wondering if you guys thought there was still a demand for the newer music from them.
Well,
I think so. I don't. Of course, it's not going. You know, it's not 92 and Janet singing again or anything like that. But if you go on tour, you're gonna want to hear the hits. But Janet does a good job again at the last tour, sprinkling in a couple of the new songs. I didn't think she was gonna do any of the new songs, and she did a couple, and they got a decent reaction. So she knows Janet's been there long enough to know what she's doing. People are coming for the hits, but she's gonna put in a little bit just to kind of shake things up. And she had a few album cuts, too, that were pretty cool.
Well, I'll say I don't expect Janet to, like, change the world with her new album. I think she's just going to make some solid songs, go on tour. And the only request I make for this tour is she's got to stop doing those performances where she, like, performs one song for, like, a minute and changes on to the next one. Just perform a whole song. You can reduce your set list from 40 songs to 10, and we'll be happy with that. I know she has a lot of hits, but transitioning from one song to the other after a minute... gets quite annoying.
Oh.
Did she do that this last time? There are definitely some artists that do that, but I just don't remember her doing that this last time.
Yeah, I think Janet's like notorious for that, but that's a conversation for another day. We'll have to go to the tour. We'll have to send Montrez Jones.
Let me add one quick thing, Kyle. People often forget artists, you know, think of the term artist. They love creating music. So if someone like a Janet Jackson loves creating and that's her art form, that's an outlet for her, she likes being in the studio, likes creating, there's nothing wrong with putting out an album. Like, I think I have problems when people just go in there because they feel like they have to and, you know, oh, it's time to put out an album. I have to get back to work. Like, that's not what I'm interested in hearing. So if she truly loves making music, more power to her. Keep it coming. You know, that's what I'm here for.
Absolutely. So some more news for you guys here. Just quickly here. LMA is currently in the studio with Organized Noise. One member of that production team is Ed's boy, Sleepy Brown. Tom, are you excited about Sleepy Brown?
When did Sleepy Brown become my boy? I don't understand.
Shout out to Sleepy Brown. Ed, we will get him on this show eventually, just for you. Stay tuned. We're in touch. We're negotiating with his team to try to, you know, figure that out. So stay tuned.
Wait, Ed, you don't think Margarita is a classic song?
I think the two of you have been drinking Margarita. I don't understand what is going down. I love Organized Noise, one of the most underrated producers in really the history of music. But I don't understand this Sleepy Brown fascination you two have.
I mean, of all teams to collaborate with, how did LMA end up there?
Telling you, Tom.
LMA's life?
Jonte Austin is also in the mix for that song. I'm telling you, LMA knows R&B. We got to start forgiving her for not knowing those Aretha Franklin songs and celebrate LMA as the next superstar. Shout out to Zeppelin.
Oh, God. Zeppelin. You know, shout out to Zeppelin.
We need it on this podcast, on every single episode, we should have Jonte Austin and Magoo dial in at some point and chime in. Both of those dudes, they're chiming in on every single conversation we're having on social media. They know their stuff.
Oh, no question.
This is true.
Kyle, make that happen.
I'll make that happen. But a couple more.
Especially Magoo.
Oh, yeah. Magoo, he just named a random like Tyrese song from 2001 as his favorite Tyrese song.
That was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
But it just shows who are true fans of music. I think I mentioned before that when K. Michelle was going on one of her rants, somebody on Twitter was like, hey, you need to check out Snow Allegra. And she was kind of like, who is that? I guess I'll check it out. So artists don't really check for other artists, but Tyrese is not Tyrese. My man Magoo is a student of the game.
So there you have it. Some more news for you guys here. Three pieces of group news here. RASB recently did an interview, and he said that on the Millennium Tour, it was supposed to be split four ways, but he decided to sacrifice some of his split and give it to the other members just so that the tour would actually happen. Can we give a shout-out to our boy RASB for that?
Well, that was pretty unselfish of him. I'm not sure who many else would do that.
So we're supposed to believe the other members felt like they weren't getting paid enough and they weren't willing to do the tour unless they got more money, and he was willing to give up some of his money just to make it happen. That's disappointing, guys. I mean, come on.
It's called negotiation skills, Tom. You gotta grab that bag.
Oh my God.
I mean, hold on, Kyle. How much was RASB even contributing to the music? I mean, was his part of the tour lesser than the others?
No. He was actually, from what I've read, he was like the best member of the group in terms of performance on that tour. He was the most prepared. He danced. I think he did a little bit of vocals as well, but he was the highlight of that tour. Damn. So, yeah, really? He put in the work. Right. Yeah. So, shout-outs to Raz. Unfortunately, he will not be a part of the next Millennium Tour. That's set to kick off in March, I believe. Some more tour news, or not tour news, group news for you guys. Nokio, on this ongoing Drew Hill drama or mystery, he made a statement recently. Mm. Tom, what did he say?
He was asked to take some time off he didn't say why, but just to take some time away from the group and from touring, and he will not be making appearances with the group in the near future, I guess. So we were wondering why it was just Black and Smokey and Cisco performing as Drew Hill. And I'm glad he cleared it up, though, instead of just leaving it to speculation. But it's still a bit concerning, Ed.
Well, the one thing I do, again, we don't know the whole story. I mean, it sounds like maybe he's going through some things. So, you know, we keep your boy in our prayers. However, the one thing I appreciated about the statement that I think people are missing is that he not only just kept it real, but he continued to show love for the two new members and Cisco and asked people to continue to support them. So it didn't come off like, oh, they kicked me out the group. Or all this drama. He was very professional about it. He was like, I'm going to step away. There's some things. But y'all continue to support Drew Hill. That's how you do it. You show actual adult tendencies. I love it. I love that he was able to say, okay, I'm stepping back, but continue to support my guys. I give him lots of respect for that.
But, Tom, I do have a question for you. If Nokio is no longer a part of the group, or at least temporarily, and this new song, What You Need, with Cisco, Black, and Playa, and Smoke, shouldn't this be considered Playa featuring Cisco at this point?
Well, first of all, let's not forget to mention Nokio has a solo project out right now called While We're Going Crazy Part 1. It's an EP. He's been putting out some music, so check that out. It's on the site. It is kind of weird. But I think if you look at it, if you break it down, Drew Hill, at the end of the day, is always going to be Cisco and whatever follows from Cisco. Like that, his voice is the voice of Drew Hill. So I think if he's a part of it, it's always going to be, no matter what comes behind him, that's what Drew Hill is going to be. So it is kind of weird. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I almost wonder what people think when they see a show, when they come to a Drew Hill show and see Cisco and then see Smokey and Black, if they hadn't even known, you know, what's going on. So, I mean, Ed, how do you view all this?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because over in the Soul and Serial Cypher, this has been a big topic of contention, and you can join that. Go to Facebook, just type in Soul and Serial Cypher, hit like, join it, and you'll be in on the crew. However, there were a few members in there that pretty much echo Kyle's sentiment. Shout out to my man Gustav, who said, you know, if there are more non-Drew Hill members than Drew Hill members, is it still really Drew Hill? Or is it, as Kyle said, player featuring Cisco? Because that's what it's starting to look like. So I think you really hit the nail on the head when you said that Cisco is the sound of Drew Hill. And for those who are not kind of been in the know of all these group changes and all the drama and this and that and folks going out, it is pretty jarring when you see Drew Hill on a bill and you go and you're like, okay, I'm going to go check out Drew Hill. And you see Cisco and like the two dudes from Cheers to You. You're like, what is this? So it's very jarring. We've seen it with 112 and, you know, the remnants of 112 that are on stage now. So it's jarring. It's weird. But really, when you look back at the history of R&B groups, it's not at all out of the ordinary. And when you look at the Temptations and the Four Tops and those groups like that from times past, there's always been like one kind of ever-present voice. But the group, Earth, Wind & Fire, it's had many revolving door members that have always come in and out that have been able to kind of keep the sound alive. So it's weird because we get so attached to the personalities, especially more so today than we did kind of like in the 60s and 70s, because they're so distinct, especially Drew Hill, because they had four very, very distinct members. So it is kind of weird, but to me, I'm not that bothered by it as long as the main sound is the same. In Drew Hill's case, it's Cisco. The music is still quality. We're still getting quality music, and they can perform the hits and sound at least close to what we remember. And they can. So, you know, I don't get hung up on it.
Ed, I'm glad you mentioned the Temptations. One of our readers brought them up, too. Because if you look at their Wikipedia page, actually, they have 20 past members in the group, which is crazy. And the only original member left in the Temptations is Otis Williams and four others who were not originally part of the group. So they continue to tour under the Temptations, but it's not the same group, so... I mean, there's been a precedent set for this type of thing before. I mean, it's a bit different now in this day and age where everyone's so visible and we see the drama play out in front of our eyes, but this stuff happens, guys.
It's not unheard of. It's weird, but it's not unheard of. And again, as long as the sound is the same, I'm all right with it. Now, if you're coming out there and you sounding like something else, then okay, that's not Drew Hill. But I'm still with it. I still support it. I know I might be biased because I'm a player guy, but I'm still with it.
Yeah, because I was going to say, while you guys were talking about this, I just went on 112's Instagram page. They recently posted a picture with Mike Slim and the two dancers. And obviously the comments were going off and everyone was like, who are these two? This is 56. This is not 112. Where are Q and Duran? And then Slim actually started responding to people. He started going off on people. And he essentially said, if you want to ask where the two quitters are, why don't you go hit their pages up instead?
Oh, come on. Come on, player.
But he did make an interesting point. He owns a trademark to 112. Slim does. Which is an interesting concept to think about. I mean, but still. I know that I know Duran's doing his thing. I know Q's doing his thing. But the fans want to see the four members together. We know that.
Of course. And again, like, this is not new. With every major group from times past, there's somebody that has the trademark. And then there's like two different sets of groups because the trademark group has it and the other group members make their own group. And then there's all this beef. It's ridiculous, but it's played out many, many times in the past. Difference is just now that everything is visible and you got actual group members yelling at you on Instagram saying, where are the quitters? Go ask them yourselves. That's, come on, y'all chill out. It's odd. It's not fair, but that's how it goes.
Yep. Kyle, can I ask you a serious question?
Yep.
So, if I was to fire you and Ed from the podcast and say I own the Soulback trademark and then hire Montrez Jones and Barry Barrs to be part of the podcast, would people still listen to this podcast?
Ha!
Well, yes, until Jeremiah gets brought up, which will probably be 20 minutes into it, so...
Oh! Oh, yeah. That's bad.
So there's that. Can we get into
good
the soul
luck with your fake soul back podcast? Me and Kyle will make back soul podcast, and it'll be popping.
Back there, no soul back two, just like Blackstreet.
Yeah, soul back two. Yeah, soul back two.
SB two. But can we get into the soul back track the day really quickly, guys?
I guess.
This man just recently released a 2020 version of this song, Mario. Let me love you. Now this song to me. Written by Scott Storch and Neil. This song is probably like the song for my generation. Probably this and Yeah, and We Belong Together by Mariah. Those are like the three big songs. And I know how you feel about overplayed songs on the radio. But I'm curious, what do you guys think about that song?
Now, I will say, I don't like overplayed songs, but I never tired of this one. This one, it never got old to me. I just adore this song. Listening to it, and I know the reviews have been mixed on social media about this, and listening to it, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Dollar, somebody was saying like, oh, this sounds like karaoke. It doesn't sound like you remember it because it was 20 freaking years ago, and of course his voice is different. So of course it sounds different. It doesn't sound like the sound that we heard back when he was a kid. But it's well sung. I think I'll stick with the original because that's what I'm used to. But it's not at all a bad re-record at all.
My turn?
Tom?
If we're keeping it real, I really got tired of the song from overhearing it, and I really like Just a Friend 2002 way more. Is that fair?
Oh, no.
No,
that's not fair. Nobody on earth would say that. Who likes Just a Friend better than Let Me Love You?
Just
this man right
Let
here.
Me Love You was played out, guys. It's played out.
No, never. Oh, I can't wait till Soul Back 2 debuts next week.
Ed, we'll take over Tom's apartment and kick him out.
Well, we're already sleeping on the couch, so it's fine.
Yep. Yeah, you're going to have Dairy Queen, you're going to have IHOP. It's going to be a good time for you guys.
Oh, my God. Not for the toilet, it won't be.
Oh, man.
Just
but that song is a bona fide classic, if I may say so myself. Can we get into the play it, please, really quickly? I know we're running out of time.
Yes, we can.
And I want Tom to explain this. the Essence Festival recently announced their artist that will be set to perform, you know, in July. Tamia is on the Super Lounge. Summer Walker is on the main stage. How did that work out?
I mean, I think... but you know they've been treating our 90s favorites like this for years now. It's nothing new. I mean, remember Genuine? He got put on the Super Lounge or whatever they call that, and he's now starting a campaign to be... Oh, I guess that didn't work out for him, did it, Kyle? Main stage, no, 2020. The hashtag is didn't work out. No, he started a hashtag, Ed. After, they made him do the Super Lounge last year, and he's like Genuine 2020 Main Stage Essence Festival. He made a hashtag. He kept tweeting about it or Instagramming.
I totally missed this. Oh, my goodness.
So it didn't work out, but that's how they treat the 90s greats. And then they put the Flavor of the Moment, Summer Walkers of the World on the main stage, and... It's just disappointing. I thought she gave up on touring. I thought she retired from that. I thought she couldn't handle it. How's she going to deal with 90,000 people?
Because I thought that y'all actually would not put stock into what this chick says. She just said that at the moment so she can get some social media sympathy. But I guarantee you her manager were like, you going to get on that stage. And you're not going to mess up my money. As Puffy famously told Faith Evans when she didn't want to perform because her husband just died.
Wow.
I mean, but, Kyle.
Tom.
I'll never forget Kyle. Tom. We showed up to the... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, the one comment that Tamia did make on her Instagram page was, for anyone asking why I'm on the Super Lounge and not the main stage, I actually prefer the intimate vibes of the Super Lounge. Do you guys buy that?
I buy it. I don't think she would turn it down.
Tamia's classy, but I'll say this. Actually, I was thinking about this the other day. I prefer intimate shows to a whole arena show. Like, it's a much more, you know, personal feel to a show. Like, I don't know, you know, if you guys have been to those smaller venues and seen that, but that's like a way better show, in my opinion.
Yeah, those are the best shows.
Yeah, so yep. I'm not mad at Tamia for saying that.
No, and I don't think she's making excuses. I think she's right. But I also think if they gave her main stage money, she'd be right there singing Imagination. So, either way.
But let's not be mad. I mean, Kyle, don't forget we went to Essence Festival like 3 years in a row. And look how they did your girl, Brandy, and look how they did Solange. They put them on before people were even entered into the arena. Remember that?
Yep. They were on the main stage. They were set to go in at 7 p.m., if I remember correctly.
Yep.
And the doors opened at 6:45, but the line was so long that everyone got in at, like, 8. So by the time Brandy was done, everyone didn't even go in yet.
Ed, no one was even in there yet. It was embarrassing. I felt so bad.
That is. I have never gone to Essence. I really want to. My wife is, like, one of her bucket list items, but... I'll be honest, the stories that you have told me, that Kyle has told me, that some other folks have told me, I don't know if I have patience for Essence, because it seems like chaos.
Yep.
Ed, I mean, patience, fair enough. Patience is getting to the stadium 2 hours before the actual show to get two seats at the front of the press room. And the moment that you try to go take a piss, someone's going to try to take that seat. It's crazy.
Ugh.
And on top of that, they say, as a press member, you'll get free dinner. Yo, they gave you a piece of sliced turkey on a roll. I don't know if there was cheese on there and a bag of chips, but you had to fight for it. You couldn't even just... it wasn't handed to you. Right, Kyle?
No, it was...
Was this catered by the Fire Festival? What is this?
No. Well, we're going to end this podcast shortly, but let me just say, there was one time I was trying to eat. I went into the cooler to get a can of Coke. They had nothing left but, like, Diet Coke. So I walked away.
Man, catering by Ja Rule. This is what happens.
but anywho, Ed, what's going on with SoInStereo.com?
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, I got to thank my boy Kyle for coming through. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, we've got this new feature called Head to Head with Ed, and it's what... Fans, as I go kind of back and forth with a super fan of an artist. So, We had our boy Kyle on earlier this week to discuss the highs and lows of his girl, Brandy. So go check that out. Those posts are always fun, always gets a lot of good reaction. So check that out. As always, we've got a new edition of the Love Letters just in time for Valentine's Day. And a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to travel to Macon, Georgia to look back at the history of the renowned Otis Redding and his R&B roots there. Now, we talked earlier about your girl, Ella Mai, not knowing the history of R&B. So, if you want to know about the history of Otis Redding, how he was able to make his mark in not only R&B, but he actually had his fingerprints over Southern rock as well. Like, he is a true innovator. Go check out my piece on Otis, because it's a good piece for R&B historians.
And Tom, what's going on with YouKnowIGotSoul.com?
I would actually like you to speak, Kyle, because you've been setting it on fire with these interviews. You've done a whole bunch lately. Tell us about those.
Yeah, so I interviewed JoJo Haley from Joe to C earlier in the week, as well as Mario. And I do have a couple of other ones lined up that I'm really excited about. One that's a super producer, and then actually two that are super producers. I'm working on those two, so we'll see. We'll see what happens from that, but I'm really excited.
Yeah, I just want to give a quick shout-out to Singer's Room. My boy Gary, the founder of the site, I just found out he sold it. So I'm not sure if they're going to continue or not, but that was one of the originators of R&B websites. You know, he showed me the ropes early on, and I guess it's the end of the road for him as far as the site. So absolute shout-out to Singer's Room. We kind of followed their blueprint early on and kind of made our way. He gave me a lot of tips, so... You know, that's a big loss for the R&B community for sure.
Yeah, I had not heard that. So, yeah, shout out to Gary, a good guy.
Yeah. So, and Tom, I want you to hit up Gary and see how much he sold the site for, because I might need to take my bag. And since I'm on Tyrese's payroll now, I don't really need this anymore.
Listen. She said.
Oh, my God. Getting that Voltron money? Okay.
Yep.
You'll be back.
But guys, I think that's it for the podcast. So I'm going to call it a week. Hope you guys have a good time, and we'll be back next week.